Take your Bible this morning, if you will,
to the book of Acts. I want you to go to the exact same passage we read last week. He said, "Preacher, you going to preach that again?" Yeah. I noticed some of you weren't paying attention real good, so we're going to have to preach the message one more time. No, I'm not going to do that, but we're going to take the same text verses this morning and preach to you from the Word of God. The Word of God is a bottomless. You'll never be able to wring everything out of the Word of God that's there. We never reach the bottom. We never exhaust the riches that's found in the Word of God. So I've been preaching through the book of Acts. This is the 50th message I brought from the book of Acts. And I want you to know completely and fully, even through the chapters we've been through, I do not profess to have covered it all. Can't do that, all right? But Acts chapter 20, look, if you will, in verse 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now we're going to leave off reading there. The Apostle Paul here was speaking to the Ephesian elders, to the leaders there in the church at Ephesus. He had called them together. He had coming back through that area and called them together to speak with them. These were men that knew Paul. They knew him. They knew of his ministry. They had been enriched. They had been blessed by the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They had benefited from what the work God had called Paul to do. And he says to them, he said, "My preaching was profitable," all right? He said, "because I held back nothing that was needed." And hey, folks, that's what preaching is. It's the delivering of the Word of God that's needed, okay? That is needed. As a pastor, I do not sit at home or sit in my office in my study and begin to think about you folks individually and think, "Oh, brother so-and-so there, this is what he needs." I don't do that, okay? I don't do that. I don't think, "Well, this is what sister so-and-so is needful of today." That's not what I do. And he said, "Well, preacher, how do you do that?" I think about what my brother needs. No, I don't, all right? I don't do that, okay? I take the Word of God and I read and study and I let God impress upon my heart what He wants me to give to you, all right? So if you feel like I am just preaching to you, you're right. Because you're here. Doesn't do me any good to preach to people that aren't here. I do preach to you that are here, but not trying to make it personal. But I want you to look in verse 21 this morning. Here the Apostle Paul makes very clear that his message had been consistent, regardless of what kind of audience he was speaking to. He didn't preach one thing to the Jews and another thing to the Greeks or the Gentiles. He said it was the same message, all right? He said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he said what was needed for both groups was the same message. I just want to tell you this morning, what's needed for everybody today is the same message, all right? It's what we find in the Word of God. That message he specifically spoke of was repentance and faith. I want to preach to you this morning on repentance and faith. Why? Because they're still needed today. They're essential. Consider with me this morning just a little bit. Obviously, repentance and faith go together. Paul put it that way. He said, I preach testifying to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance and faith. That and means they were together. He didn't say, I preached repentance or faith. He said, I preach repentance and faith. Because the two of those go together. They're definitely linked in that verse we read. One time I heard a fellow say that repentance and faith are like two sides to the same coin. You know, repentance and faith. It's hard to separate them. Maybe you've got a saw that you could stand a quarter up and saw it in half. But man, if you could do that, that thing standing up, that'd be amazing. Hey, it's hard to separate repentance and faith. The truth of the matter is they work together. They work together. When we get in the Bible and we get in the Word of God and we believe it, we put some faith in it, we realize I need to repent. I've heard a Bible message. I need to repent. I need to repent. At the same time, repentance will draw us further along the road of faith. It'll take us further down that road. Now, I talked about that coin. Now, you might think it's a very crude illustration, but I think it helps us maybe to grasp this. If you go to a Coke machine or a soda pop machine, and you want to get something out of it, and you've got a handful of coins, and it sort of takes a handful nowadays, you don't put in one side of the coin at a time, right? You stick the whole thing in the slot. You stick it in there, all right? Hey, that fact, I want to help us to understand repentance and faith work together in our lives. They work together in our lives to help us to be what God wants us to be. Let's talk about that thing called repentance. I want you to see, number one, it's a requirement. It is a requirement. You said, why do you think that? Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except ye repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 this morning. Matthew chapter 9, look if you will in verse 13. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God came and he said, I came for the purpose of calling sinners to repentance. That's it. Go with me over near the end of your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now remember, I want you to be convinced that the Bible says repentance is a requirement, all right? It is a requirement. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will. What a marvelous verse. The Lord, in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, listen, folks, I want to tell you this. There's a crowd today that preaches a limited atonement. I don't believe that. I believe that verse right there said God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you die and go to hell, it is not God's fault. It's because you refuse to accept his son. This thing of repentance is a requirement. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice what, back in Mark chapter 6, he said, preacher, you're wearing my thumbs out. Well, good. Mark chapter 6, okay? Mark chapter 6. You notice with me, Mark chapter 6, verse 12. Mark chapter 6, verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. And they went out and preached that men should repent. They went out and preached that men should repent. He said, who's the they? It's the disciples. The Lord sent the 12 out to preach. And it says here, they went out and preached that men should repent. He said, well, why? Why? Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, would you? Acts chapter 17, look with us at verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. The Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. Hey, they went out and preached repentance because God says all men need to repent. All men need to repent. We're to do that, all right? So the question is, what is this thing called repentance? What in the world is this thing called repentance? Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. To me, this is the clearest, most straightforward verse about it that's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. You say, what is this thing called repentance? I believe scripturally it is a godly sorrow for the sin that you've committed, for the fact you're a sinner. Godly sorrow for the fact you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Can I say this to you? There ought to be shame. There ought to be sorrow when you sin. It ought to be there. It ought to be there. When you do wrong, you shouldn't strut your stuff and brag about it. There ought to be sorrow. There ought to be shame. We live in a day, though, where we got folks running around expressing their pride over their sin, bragging on it. Bragging about that sin. Hey, you ought to be ashamed of it. You ought to be ashamed of it. Now, you pick any sin you want to name, all right? You pick any sin you want to name. I believe this. Well, I'll take one that, hey, is simple. We can all grasp it. The Bible said, be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Be ye kind one to another. Now, you can take that instrument that lies between your teeth and in your mouth and crucify somebody with it. And if you're that kind of person, you can reduce somebody else to tears with your tongue. I've known of people that did that kind of thing and then bragged about it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. There ought to be sorrow for that. You shouldn't be around bragging about it. Yeah, well, I told them. Well, ring-a-ding-ding. There ought not to be pride over that. There ought to be shame. And there ought to be sorrow. Man, there have been times in my life I've done things and immediately I was ashamed of myself. And I thought, what in the world? How could I have done that? Sometimes it didn't occur until a little later and I realized it. How do I do something like that? But I'll tell you that when that happened, I didn't get on Facebook and tell the world, look what I did. Man, I was ashamed of myself. Ashamed of myself and what I'd done. Hey, we ought to have that shame. That's what repentance is. It's a godly sorrow over your sin. It is that. true repentance now results in a change in your behavior. True repentance works in change in your behavior. If you mistreat someone and repent of that, you will not immediately go out and do that same thing again. You're not going to do it. Hey, the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. True repentance makes a difference in how you act. You will not go out and do it again if you've really repented of that. Hey, men, if you've made your wife mad, and you go to her and say you're sorry, and the only reason you say it is because you're hoping she'll cook supper. You haven't repented, okay? You're wrong. If you've hurt her feelings, you ought to care. You ought not have that. Well, I don't care what. You should care. In God's dear name, how could you do that to one who is part of you? The Bible said, you mark it down, the Bible said when two are united in marriage, the two become one. That means you've hurt yourself. All right, you've hurt yourself. Ladies, I'm not going to harp on it, but the same is true for you, all right? The same, it works, it's both sides of the coin, all right? True repentance says, I'm not going to go do that again. I'm not going to do that again. Now, true repentance doesn't mean you'll suddenly become perfect. But bless your heart, you'll at least try, okay? At least try. Hey, notice, it's repentance toward who? God. It's repentance toward God. Why? Because that's who you sinned against. Old Joseph had it right there in that Potiphar's house, when Potiphar's wife came to him to seduce him, to lie with her, Potiphar said, how can I do this great sin and sin against my God? Okay, Joseph said that. Did I say Potiphar? That's what happens when you talk a lot, you say the wrong thing. All right? Joseph said that. You with me? Joseph understood, my sin is not against you. It was against her, but not just her. His sin wasn't just against Potiphar, but he understood his sin was against God. Because all sin's against God. So it's repentance toward God. But look at that other thing. Faith. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. Remember what we said about repentance? It's a requirement. Guess what? So is faith. It's a requirement. It has to be there. I don't believe you. Well, okay, I figured you'd say that. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. You got your Bible there. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11. Look down, if you will, in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, there's that great chapter on faith. But it says this in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please Him. Friend, if that doesn't mean it's a requirement, I don't know what would mean it was a requirement. It's impossible for us to please God without faith. Well, I'm going to impress Him with my talent. Well, where do you think that came from? That came from God. Well, I'm going to flash some big bills in front of Him, and I'm going to do... You're not going to impress God. The only thing that pleases Him is when we act by faith. When we act by faith. It's impossible. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. You said a requirement for what? Number one, salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through
Faith. Faith.
Faith. If you come to the Lord for salvation, you come by faith. Come by faith. Now, maybe sometimes people in our day, we don't like dogmatic stuff. Well, you didn't write the Bible, neither did I. I just preach what God's written to us. And it's a requirement. He said, you cannot be saved apart from faith. Repentance is toward God, and faith is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's because our faith is in the work that He did on the cross. Our faith is in what He did on the cross. It was there He shed His blood for us. Now, our faith and our salvation is purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith is toward Him. We trust Him as our Savior by faith. By faith. We trust Him. Hey, it's not the baptismal waters. It's not any works you or I could do. It's not in any church. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Acts 4 says, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, a requirement. Repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's required. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to get to heaven by faith. Just going to have to trust Him. You're just going to have to believe what He said, do what He says, and trust Him to save you. Don't trust anything else. Don't trust faith. Hey, I'm a Baptist. I was born to a Baptist mom and a Baptist dad. That didn't make me a Baptist. But that's where I was born. I was raised in a Baptist church. I believe this is a Baptist book. I believe that. I believe that Bible doctrine is Baptist doctrine and Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. It's there in the book. I was baptized in a Baptist church. I got saved in a Baptist church. But you don't have to get saved in a Baptist church. Some of you here did not. You got saved. I think Brother Opdahl was in Methodist. Brother Opdahl got saved in the Methodist church. Hey, I don't believe only Baptists are going to heaven. All right, don't believe that. Therefore, my faith is not in my church. My faith is in my Savior and what He did for me on that cross. And I believe with all my heart, He died for me. I know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I'll be honest with you, I believe for God so loved Marlon Mosley that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Marlon Mosley would believe, he would not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe you can put your name there too. I believe He died for you. But man, it's an individual thing. My salvation, why? It's by faith. By faith. In Him. Hey, but wait a minute. That's not the end of faith. That's not the end. Are you still in Hebrews by any chance? Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not in Hebrews. I'd turn somewhere else. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Next to the last verse in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Faith is not to be exhausted at salvation. Well, I got a hold of all the faith I could get, and I grouped it all together, and I had just enough to get saved, and that is it. I don't have any more. No, then you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, increase our faith, all right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it didn't exhaust faith. You see, the truth of the matter is we're to exercise faith in our daily life. We're to live by faith, all right? We cannot be saved apart from faith, but we cannot live a Christian life without the exercise of our faith. All of our Christian life is an exercise of faith. Everything. What me or any other Bible preacher preaches to you that you should do as a child of God, you do it by faith. You do it by faith. Not anything else. It's by faith. Hey, I'll give you some examples. And yes, the first one I'm going to give is giving. We exhibit faith when we give. When the offering plate comes by, we exhibit our faith by putting in our tithe and offering. It's faith. It's faith. Is there anybody here that says, "Preacher, I've got so much money that I don't know what to do with it, and I need somewhere to bleed some of it off." Anybody like that right now? Just get your hand. Wait a minute. Don't raise your hand. You'll get mobbed. All right? You probably won't make it out of the building alive. Well, nobody's here like that, right? None of you are here saying, "Well, I got so much, I don't know what to do." That's one thing about it. When the time comes to give, it's by faith. It's by faith. Because, logically, it doesn't make sense. Because the Bible says, if you want to get, then learn to give. Learn to give. Hey, by the way, not just money. People like to be loved. Well, learn to love. You give it, you'll get it back. You learn to get it. Hey, if you give, you'll receive. The Bible says, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also receive." We have to learn to give. We do it by faith. We do it by faith. We put that in the offering plate saying, "All right, Lord, you said to do it. By faith, I'm going to do what you say. I'm your child. You're responsible to take care of me." And he is. He is. I had two children. Still got both of them. But I'm not responsible to take care of them anymore. But when they were at our house, it was our responsibility. I didn't say, "All right, kids, time to eat. Go see the next door neighbor. See what we're having tonight." No, it was time to eat. We fed them at our house. We fed them there. All right? They were our responsibility. Then we bought clothes for them. Okay, we didn't. My wife did. All right? If it had been up to me, I guess my kids would have run around naked, because I don't think I ever bought them any clothes, but my wife did. She bought them clothes, but we clothed them. They slept in a bed because we provided a place for them to sleep. That was fine. Why? That was our responsibility. They're my children. Wait a minute. I'm his child. I'm his child. I'm his child. It's his responsibility to take care of me. Now, you say, "Well, preacher, that means I can do whatever." Oh, no, 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 no. My kids, when we were on good terms, life was better. When we were on good terms, life was better. Hey, same way when I was a kid at home. When I was obedient son, I did what I said, life was better. My parents never said, now, Marlon, if you'll do this, I'll give you a piece of candy." That never happened. Ever. On occasion, I did hear, "If you don't do this, I will give you something." But it wasn't a piece of candy, all right? Hey, because I was their responsibility. But God's my father. I'm his child. Hey, you know what he said? He said, "I'll provide all your needs." But you know what I found? I found if I'll do what he says, he takes real good care of me. Real good care of me. Why? One reason is learn to give. Now I'll move on, all right? But you need to learn to give, all right? We exhibit faith in giving. Hey, we exhibit faith in going. We exhibit faith in going. You say, "What do you mean?" I mean by going and telling other people about the Lord. Hey, we witness in spite of our shyness, in spite of our fear. We witness, we tell other people. We witness boldly because God has told us to do it. I'll be honest with you. I don't go and knock on doors and witness to people because I think it's the most fun thing in the world that I've ever done. Now, I have had great fun doing it. But I'll just be honest with you. You say, why do you do it? Because he said to do it. He said to do it. You said, but I'm shy. Now, here's the part you're not going to believe. Me too. Me too. You may have heard me tell this, but I'm going to tell it again to illustrate. When I was a kid in high school, the worst thing I ever heard, and it was usually in English class, could be why I still hate English, all right? It's usually in English class. We're going to give oral reports. I was in pain immediately. I started to pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I prayed harder for the Lord to come then, I think, than ever did any other time in my life. You said, why? Because I was shy. You said, can't be. You stand up there and talk to everybody. Yeah, but you don't know what it was. So why? By faith. By faith I witness. By faith I stand behind this pulpit and try to give you the Word of God. Hey, it's by faith that we give. It's by faith that we go. It's not trusting our ability. Amen. We try to talk to other people. We witness to people. We hand out tracts. It's by faith. It's not because we're so bold. It's not because we're so brilliant. It's by faith. We exhibit our faith in giving. We exhibit our faith in going. Hey, we exhibit our faith in obedience to God. It's faith in our obedience. We don't just obey where we can see the need or the end result. That's not faith. But we obey God simply because He commands us to do something and we do it. Why? Because He said to do it. I don't do it because I feel good about it. I don't do it because I understand it's going to help. Don't do that. I don't do it because it makes sense to me. I do it because He said to do it. Our obedience is to be by faith. By faith. You hear about the guy that fell off the edge of the cliff? And I mean, he fell off and he reached out and grabbed a root. And he's hanging by one hand. And he begins to cry out, "Hey, help! Can anybody hear me? Help!" Suddenly he hears a voice from heaven. "My son, I will help you." "Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Help me." "If you trust me, turn loose of the root." "Can anybody else hear me?" That's us. That's us. God says to do something, and we go, what? But it's by faith. By faith. By faith. Brother Shipman was here Wednesday night, missionary. Brother Shipman was in his 30s when he went to Germany as a missionary. He had to learn the German language. It's not easy for an adult older to learn a foreign language. But he said, why'd he go? By faith. Because he was convinced God wanted him to go. Joe Hawkins has been in our church many times. He's now in heaven. Joe Hawkins and his wife went to Brazil. Missionaries. They had one little son, infant son, when they got to Brazil. They got there in the middle of the night. They didn't know anybody. There was nobody there to greet them, nobody there to meet them. And to hear them tell that story is fascinating. Fascinating. Why'd he go? Because by faith, he knew God had called him to go. So he went. They spent years up the Rio Negro in a ministry along the river there for years. Neither one of them could swim. Neither one of them could swim. It's okay, the piranhas will get you anyway. No, I was kidding. All right. But you say, why'd they do it? By faith. By faith. Hey, everything, our obedience to God is exercising faith. Because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of times we hear things that the Bible said we're supposed to do, and we go, down, we'll see how that's going to work. Well, that's our job, trust Him. By faith. By faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Hey, can I tell you this? I still believe in repentance and faith. I still preach repentance and faith. I still practice repentance and faith. I still believe you need to repent of your sin. I still believe that. And you need to step out by faith and follow our Lord. By faith. Well, what are people going to think? By faith. Doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference what somebody thinks. What are folks going to say? What is God going to say? What's He going to say? By faith. Repentance and faith. Hey, look, when you realize you're wrong, scripturally wrong, immediately you ought to repent. Immediately you ought to repent. You ought to get right with Him. And that repentance leads to a change of action. And you need to trust God. Your faith needs to be in Him. Not in me, not in a building, not in a baptistry, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your faith needs to be. I ask you this morning, is it? Are you sitting here this morning convicted of your sin? Oh, not because I preached on it. Not a thing I've mentioned today. But see, the Holy Spirit has got His finger in your life right now. And He's working on you about what you've done. You know it. There may not be anybody else in this building that knows it, but you know it, and God knows it. So what do I need to do? You need to get down. You need to come forward, and you need to bow, and you need to ask God to forgive you. That's what you ought to do. You ought to repent of that sin, and then you ought to trust Him and do what's right. By faith. Repentance and faith. Oh, listen, if you're here this morning, you never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'll remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. He doesn't want you to. And you don't have to. But you could repent of your sin, God, and trust His Son to save your soul. But it's up to you. God gives you the opportunity. The opportunity is now. It's right here. What will you do about it? What will you do about it? Would you stand, please, with every head closed? Every head bowed, excuse me, every eye closed this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God dealing with you. My friend, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. They're necessary. They're both requirements. We need to meet the requirement. Our Heavenly Father,